Lord gave me a real direction to do this service now as a class, which we've been doing. The class is The Kingdom of God, Heresies, and Doctrines of Demons. That's the class. So, like it or not, whether you wanted to or not, you're in a Grace Life class today. Okay? You got questions? Raise your hand. I'll prompt you on some of these things. Don't give me a dissertation and don't give me a commentary. But if you got questions, raise your hands. Go to make it interactive. We've been recording these like this. We're not going to do this all the time, but I want you to make use of it, okay? I want you to get the feel and a taste of what one of the classes is like. But this is the Kingdom of God and the Doctrines of the Kingdom. Now, you know, most believers don't know what the Doctrines of the Kingdom are, because they don't really crack the word hardly at all. What are the doctrines of the kingdom? If everybody read 1 John 5 times through and through in 1 week, you got some of the doctrines of the kingdom. Somebody told me one today and I went, wow, that was big. I said, great. It's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen. Okay, most believers do not know what they believe and why they believe it. They're prime for heresies and doctrines of demons. Prime. All right. This is class number 6. Here we go. We're going to jump right in. Your homework last week was to identify any personal doctrines. When I say personal doctrines, any doctrines that conflict with the Word of God. Do you have any personal doctrines that you adhere to, hold to, believe in, stick to, wrap your arms around, hold on tight, and ride with that are contrary to the Word of God? Did anybody do their homework? No. One. Praise the Lord. It's a benefit, isn't it? Two. If you do the homework, like every other class, what you put in, you get out, right? Okay. All right, here we go. Let me give you some. How about prejudice? Is it okay to have prejudice?
No.
Is it okay to have hatred?
No.
You know, is it okay to have unforgiveness?
No.
You know how many believers hold on to this stuff? Really? Believers! Is that contrary to the Word of God?
Yes.
Guess what? It's a personal doctrine. You hold on to unforgiveness. Let's just use unforgiveness. If you hold on to unforgiveness, not only does it wreck your heart, hurt your life, it's a personal doctrine. It's in conflict with the Word of God. These are the things that we're looking at identifying in our lives. Are they heresies or doctrines of demons? Not really. Are they contrary to the Word? They're personal doctrines? Absolutely. They're contrary to the Word. All right? So we're coming out of this stuff, right? Everybody know the doctrines of the kingdom? Shout them out to me.
Salvation.
Salvation in what?
Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ. Salvation in Jesus Christ. And Jesus alone, that's right. What else?
Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus is the Son of God. What else?
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit. What else?
Kingdom of God.
Say it again.
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. Okay. What else?
Sins forgiven.
Come on. Come on.
Sins forgiven.
Sins forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. They're atoned for by Jesus' sacrifice.
Unchanging. He's forever.
God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What else?
New creation.
We're new creations. We have a new identity. What else? We're healed by Jesus' stripes. Absolutely. What else?
Eternal.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow, without the resurrection, we'd be sunk. What's the point, right? Honey?
Jesus came in the flesh.
Jesus came in the flesh. Okay. Virgin birth, right? Whoa. Anything else?
Where's
brothers and sisters?
Joint heirs.
Family, joint heirs. Okay. Sons and daughters of God. Anything else? Scholars? Brad,
if you remain in love, you remain in God.
Given, it shall be given unto you.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Does that always talk about money?
No.
No, good. I'm glad you know that. That's a doctrine of the kingdom. Ha! Say it again. Amen. Amen. All right. Carol, you got to make it quick and loud. Trinity! Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good. Okay. Eternal life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Judgment seat of Christ. Final judgment. White throne judgment. For all the peoples of the earth that haven't received Jesus, Lord and Savior. Heaven and hell. Real. Doctrines of the kingdom. All right. Refresh. Right now. Secular doctrines come into our lives. It's real. Okay. We've been through this. Recognize them for what they are. Heresies and doctrines of demons. When they come from the workplace, or they come from a movement, or they come from an organization, and they propagated, however they come, not through always through the media, but a lot of it does. And it becomes a doctrine, typically a doctrine of demons or a heresy. Because when you line up something that's trying to come into your belief system, your knowledge, your understanding, guess what? You don't compare it with the Word of God. You're not going to identify whether it's a heresy or a doctrine of demons. Both are errors, right? Remember this. They're both errors. They're both in conflict with the Word. Heresies come through, typically the flesh and man's reasoning, which twist the Word. Doctrines of demons are inspired by the demonic and still come through the flesh. We've covered all this in the previous classes, so we'll go on from here. Religions and cults are based, their foundations are based on, when I say religions, I mean false religions, are based on heresies and doctrines of demons that contradict the absolute truth of the Word of God. Okay, are we tracking?
Yes.
Right? Are we?
Yes.
Don't everybody speak at once. All right. All right, now we're coming to the last two classes, today and next week, and these are the sects, S-E-C-T-S, or branches that come under the Christian umbrella. Okay? Ooh. We're talking about still identifying heresies and doctrines of demons versus the kingdom of God, the doctrines of the kingdom. Okay? You've got to keep this in mind, please, as we do this. Throughout your life, everything that you hear and read when it comes to the doctrines of others, are they heresies, doctrines of demons, or are they traditions? There is a difference. Or are they simply unbiblical or extra-biblical? All right? Think about these things. The whole point of this is to get you to think about these things rather than just take something in and go, well, you know, and make a judgment. It's to get you to identify what's truth from error, truth from error, truth from error. In this church, we ought to be pretty good at this.
Amen.
Right? That's my hope.
Yeah.
Do not make a decision on something that's a heresy, a doctrine of demons, a tradition, something that's unbiblical or extra-biblical, until you've done the research. Say this with me. No hearsay allowed.
No hearsay allowed.
Are we agreed?
Yes.
All right. That means you got to do some research when you hear things, because you're going to hear more. All right. Never, ever, in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, as his disciples, ever is it okay to judge somebody else's heart. Ever. Ever.
Amen.
James chapter 2 verse 1 is very clear on this. When we judge another person's heart and where they are with the Lord in their salvation, when we do that, we elevate ourselves right into the Lord's seat. We become the judge. The judge. That's not our job. That's between him and them. Okay? All right. There are more than 1,200 Christian branches or sects in the United States alone. There are more than 30,000 in the world. Why is that? Why are there so many sects or branches of Christianity in this country? Well, let's just use this country. 1,200? Are you kidding me? Now, that's not taking into account the non-denominationals. Let's talk about why are there so many
disagreements?
Division. It's one. What else? Pardon?
Pride.
Okay, pride, but that's not quite what I'm looking for, but yes, it can be it come out of pride, absolutely.
Hatred.
That's not quite what I'm looking for, but absolutely. That's part of all part of division. Yep.
Differing opinions.
Okay, differing opinions, division. What else? Doctrinal differences. Okay, so you've got divisions, you got doctrinal differences. What else?
Wrong teaching.
Doctrinal differences. Pardon?
Anti-Christ.
Okay. Ignorance of the word. Money. Money. Do it for money. Listen, if you ever want a job that makes a lot of money, don't do this. Okay? Forget that. Just telling you, David, it's... But yes, it can be a reason. All right. Doctrinal differences. Here's the list. Traditions. Different traditions. Cultural differences. There's how many cultures are in the world? And finally, ethnic differences. That's the basic reason why there are so many different branches of Christianity in this country and in the world. So say it with me. Doctrinal. Traditions.
Traditions,
cultural. And
ethnic.
Differences. That's why. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Go quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. I was sitting in Pastor Rosie's class this morning and I thought, hey, you covered my message. No, we did not talk about this ahead of time. Ephesians chapter 4. Are we there? Tell me yes. Shake your heads. Okay, thank you. Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to hear this. Verse 1. This is Paul speaking. I, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you with my heart, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Well, that's a big statement. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. You don't see that happen a lot. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to be very clear that this is the point of what I'm talking about. The unity of the Spirit. We can have some doctrinal differences. I'm not talking about major doctrinal differences. I'm not talking about differences that equate to loss of your salvation or not having salvation. I'm talking about doctrinal differences that are very minor things. We can have ethnic differences. We can have traditions that are different. You know, we have traditions in this church. And we're a grace church. How can you have traditions? Well, we do. They get developed over time. Right or wrong and different, whether you agree or not, they're there. They happen. Happens to everybody. We can have cultural differences. In all of these things, Paul is saying, now, I'm sure this is just a suggestion. We can take it or leave it. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The spiritual, we can have all these differences, but ultimately, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in our lives, if you are born again, then guess what? There should be no excuse for not having spiritual unity. None. No excuse. There isn't. There's no excuse for division, dissension, arguments, debates, hostility, hatred, pride. None of it. There isn't any of it. Because Paul, he goes on and he says, listen to this. There is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's speaking about, regardless of those other differences, the spiritual unity. If there is division, strife, arguments, debates with those who identify as being born again believers, they are wrong. They are in conflict with the Word. They are breaking the spiritual unity that God has called us to. Does it mean we agree with everything that everybody does? Of course not. Because we know that we have the only answer. That was a joke. Right? Titus 3, verses 9 through 11. Being born again, a new creation, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, confessing Him that I'm a sinner. You died for me and I accept what you did. I accept the price that you paid for everything, past, present, and future, that you gave me salvation in you and you alone, that you were buried and you were raised from the dead, and you gave the victory over death because you had it. And I'm in you and you're in me. You're my Lord, my Savior. I'm born again. I mean, that's the synopsis. John chapter 3, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Easy, basic, fundamental doctrine of the kingdom. If we have that with somebody else, regardless of what church they're in, does it matter, the differences? Yo, anybody listening? Anybody brave enough? Does it matter the differences?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay. We got no, we got yes and no. Come on. Yes or no? Does it matter? Okay, what else? What else? Anybody else? Yes or no? Is it unknown? How many don't know? Because that's why we're here, is to get this sorted out and straightened up, cleared up. All right? Anybody don't know? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Good. All right. They may have people with differences or doctrinal, cultural, ethnic traditions. If they're born again, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, bottom line, then guess what? They are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Period. There's no qualifying this. This is the Word. This is the doctrine of the kingdom. All right? This should take the mystery out of it. And we'll cover this later on. I want to read to you. I'm going to cover three different areas of Christian sects today. And what they look like and what they believe in. are some of these things that they believe in heresies or doctrines of demons, or are they traditions, or are they extra-biblical or unbiblical? What are they? Remember, you're only getting a summary of when I do this. You're getting a summary of some of this. You're not getting the whole thing. You want to know? Go research. No hearsay, remember? No hearsay. We don't accept hearsay, do we? But if you are born again and you got extra baggage, what I would call extra baggage, I don't care. If you're born again, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you know that He died for your sins, was buried, raised from the dead, then you are my brother or my sister. Period. Remember, it's the unity of the Spirit we're called to. It doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything perfectly all the time. Okay, here we go. We need to understand as Christians, believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, where we came from, where we started. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jews, period. It didn't start with Paul. Salvation came from the Jews originally, because all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament points right back to the Jews where we came out of. Salvation came from them. Let me read to you, if you're not familiar with Judaism, let me read to you a synopsis. I'm not saying Jews are Christians, not at all. You just need to know what our background is. Judaism. They believe in the Abrahamic covenant and Moses' writing. The Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and the Talmud, which is an explanation of the Tanakh, are the main writings for the base of everything that they believe. There's three branches: Orthodox, Conservative, and Reformed. They believe God is a spirit and all-powerful, eternal, compassionate. There is no Trinity, of course. That Jesus was an extremist false messiah, or he was a good martyred rabbi. The true Messiah will someday restore the kingdom to the Jews and rule the earth. The Holy Spirit is God's love and power. Prayer and repentance and obedience to the law of Moses is necessary for salvation, plus circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days and the festivals. They believe in a physical resurrection, and the obedient live forever with God, and the unrighteous will suffer. That's Judaism. That's where we came from. Now, this is all on recording, okay, so you can get this later on. Now, let's go to the sects within Christianity, because I want to break this down and kind of follow a thread along the line of those who are more lean towards the more legalistic arena. All right? Messianic Jews. They maintain their Jewish identity and heritage, but they accept Yeshua or Jesus as Messiah. God is a Trinity. They embrace the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament as Spirit-inspired and holy. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. They observe traditional Saturday Sabbath. They have faith in Jesus for salvation and believe Jesus' resurrection is the finished work and deliverance from sin and death for us. Does that make them our brothers and sisters? Yeah. That alone. Okay. How about the Jews? Are they born again? No. You know, there are believers who believe that because they're Jews and they're born into the identity of Judaism, they're saved. Sorry. I hate to pop your bubble, but go to the Word. They're not saved. The same reason Jesus cried over Jerusalem. because they'd refused to hear him, receive him. All right. Messianic Jews observe water baptism. They observe traditional holidays and feasts. They observe biblical commandments, including the dietary law. And they are intentional in proselytizing. Can you say that with me? Proselytizing. That's a mouthful, isn't it? They're witnessing to the Jews intentionally to get them born again. They're trying to reach them, kind of like Paul did. And Paul got beat up regularly. It's still happening today. Okay. Messianic Jews. Yeah, we have differences that are doctrinal, traditional, cultural, right? In what we know, what we know to be the kingdom, ethnic differences. We also have differences in what might be biblical or not biblical, or what might be a heresy or a doctrine of demons. My whole heart is in this class to get you to think about things. Think. Don't just take, and don't take what I say. Go study it, all right? Next one. Seventh-day Adventists. Anybody know any? Yeah. Good people. I like them. Incorporated in Michigan in 1863 by James and Ellen White, who are the primary organizers. Their main base writings are the Bible, King James that we have, and Ellen White's writings and publications. Here's where we get a little bit different. They have a confession of faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Does that make them our brothers and sisters? Yes. Can we do this in unison? Yes or no? It does make them our brothers and sisters. Here you're going to hear some differences. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with tongues is only for speaking in other languages to communicate with people of other nations. Some believe in the Trinity, some don't. Jesus is our example, or their example, that we can live sinlessly. His sacrifice did not complete the atonement. Some of you know the doctrines of the kingdom. Jesus is continually applying his blood in heaven in investigative judgment. Salvation is by grace through faith, but is maintained by commandment keeping and repentance. Water baptism is by immersion. The Old Testament clean and unclean food laws are to be followed, and there's no use of caffeine, alcohol, tobacco. Don't wear jewelry. And veganism is strongly encouraged. Saturday worship is a sign of the seal of God. Satan is the scapegoat to be punished in the lake of fire for the sins of the saved. Humans have no spirit, but the body dies and the breath goes to God. And nothing remains except in God's memory. The lake of fire annihilates the wicked, and the Seventh-day Adventists are the one special remnant church. Are you picking anything up? Okay. Are they our brothers and sisters? Salvation in Jesus Christ. The unity of the Spirit and what's done in the Spirit. Sorry, I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you the word. Even when we have doctrinal, cultural, ethnic, traditional differences, some unbiblical, some extra-biblical things are going to be in here. Can you be in unity with a brother or sister who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believes has baggage that's different? Because if you can't, I'm going to encourage you to go back and read the Word. There's going to be differences. Is God big enough to get through? Okay. Is it possible that we could need some correction?
Yes.
I'm glad you said that, because there's no pride in here, right? Okay. Catholicism. I know we've been waiting to get here. Began about 400 AD. Now listen to this. They believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for salvation. I used to think Catholicism was a cult, because I grew up in it. I had prejudices and baggage, biases. Most of my extended family are still Catholic. Very Catholic. You know that what they think of me. They're tolerant. But it's right on the edge. Believe in the Trinity. Believe in a baptism in water, sprinkling. From original sin, and baptism is a saving act. They have the same Bible with a few extra books called the Apocrypha. They pray to deceased Christians and Mary, and believe that they will influence them by their prayers to intercede with God on their behalf. Death in friendship with God is being in a state of grace, being in friendship with God. Is being in a state of grace, and you go to heaven or to purgatory. Now, just so that you understand this doctrine of purgatory, it's a place where people who are, you know, they live a kind of a mediocre life, but they believe in God. Okay, and they try to do right, and they're Catholic, or they're, you know, in name or identity. They go to a place called purgatory. And in purgatory, they get tormented, suffering. It's like being in a temporary hell. And then once they've paid enough for their past sins, then they go to heaven at some point. Purgatory doesn't exist, but purgatory. Okay? Those who are hostile toward God go to hell. Sins need to be confessed to a priest who has the delegated power of absolution. Penance is necessary to cancel some sins. The atonement through Jesus Christ is not always necessary, but through works of repentance and sorrow. Scripture cannot be rightly understood apart from the official Catholic interpretation. The elements of communion become the literal body and blood of Jesus, making it right to adore or worship them. Mary was always a virgin and sinless. The Pope is infallible. Peter was the first Pope. Idol worship is sinful, but bowing to images and relics is an act of worship to God. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and the charismatic gifts of the Spirit are part of their belief system. Did you identify anything at all in this? I'm not. There's all, you know, let me say this. There's baggage. There's stuff that we know is not biblical. It's extra biblical or it's unbiblical. So far in everything. Everyone I've read, right? Can you identify that? Are you hearing it? Are you understanding? Some of them are traditions. Some of them are doctrinal differences. Some of them, are they correct in our understanding of the word? No. When you bring it back to spiritual unity, are they born again? If they have received. Not every Catholic is born again. Not every Seventh-day Adventist is born again. Not every Messianic Jew is born again. If someone receives, accepts, believes Jesus Christ and confesses is Lord and Savior and are born again, believe he died, buried, rose from the dead for them, and they've been given eternal life, guess what? They are our brothers and sisters in spiritual unity. Okay? Does it make sense? So if you've got biases and prejudices like I used to, get over it. Do you know why we can't dialogue with people of other beliefs and doctrines, even though they're born again and we are? You know why we can't? Because of the personal doctrines that are hidden in our hearts. Sorry. I have addressed a whole lot of that in my heart. I've had friends that were Mormons and friends that are Jehovah's Witnesses and friends in pretty much every cult and friends that are family that's Catholic and family that are Messianic believers, friends that are Seventh-day Adventists. When we can talk about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've got a connection. Yeah, if we can't do that, that's very sad. Because it is not the unity of the Spirit God has called us to. As much as it depends on us, Romans 13, be at peace with all people. You can agree where you can agree and disagree where you can when you dialogue. Do you know that Messianic Jews, Seventh-day Adventists, and of course the Jews, and Catholics know that most Christians hate them? Do you know that? How are we ever going to do anything as one body? How are we ever going to help somebody come to know the grace of God if we can't even get the door open based on our own stuff? Because we've judged everybody's hearts based on whether they're doctrinally, ethnically, traditionally, culturally correct, beyond being born again. Even spirit-filled believers don't address things with other spirit-filled believers because there's doctrinal, traditional, cultural, ethnic differences. Come on. Calvinism. Anybody familiar with it? I got to wrap up here. Calvinism. Calvinism, again, is a legalistic form of religion, but they believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. When Rosie and I lived in the Holland area of Michigan, I thought, my goodness, I came from Las Vegas. All those years in Vegas, a believer. And I came to Holland, Michigan. There was a church on every corner. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Really? And then I found out about the Reformed religion. Christian Reformed religion. Calvinism. There's various degrees of Calvinism. Well, let's talk about the basics. This is what they believe. It is Reformed Protestantism, following the traditions and doctrines of John Calvin from the mid-1500s, part of the Reformation. Believe in the Trinity, believe in the baptism of believers. They also believe in a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, died, buried, resurrected from the dead for us. Believe in heaven and hell, part of their doctrine. There is no baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. They are cessationist. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, and authorized Word of God. And you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You kind of empty out. People are unable to come to God themselves. Now we're getting into the predestination aspect, if you've ever heard of it. People are unable to come to God themselves. You can't do it. God does it all. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection atoned for the sins of the elect, the chosen, the selected in the Greek, whom God has sovereignly chosen for salvation in heaven. There is an expectation of good works or works righteousness from the outcome of this, from the outcome of their belief or the profession of their belief. to believe that God keeps the elect and the chosen for eternal life, protects them, guards them, and never lose their salvation no matter what. Never, you can't even reject it. All others are sovereignly chosen for hell. Are they our brothers and sisters? Come on, let's get real. Are they? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, this is hard. Because they don't believe like we do. Oh, we want to get them the truth, don't we? It's not ours to sort out. Man, if you got an open door, great. Take it. Run with it. But know what you know and why you know what you know. Because most people, believers, don't know what they know and don't know why they know don't know what they know. That's the reality. The Reformed churches, many Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, community-type churches, non-denominational churches are Calvinistic. Okay? They have a Calvin-based doctrine. You're either predestined for eternal life in Jesus Christ or not. And God chooses. You don't. You have no free will in this at all. I'll close with this. And then we'll bless the food. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, therefore, my much beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, I want to highlight, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Can I break it down in the simple Greek? Take care of your own stuff. Work out your own life. Work out your own walk. Don't focus on everybody else's and what they're doing right and wrong. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, great. You can meet and agree on that. You can agree to disagree on everything else. It's okay. The ideal is you want to be able to dialogue with people. Don't shut them off. Even the secular world, full of heresies and doctrines of demons. But you know what? If you can't dialogue with somebody, if you can't say, help me understand what you believe and why you believe that, and then share what you believe and why you believe if you're dialoguing. Most of the time, if you say, help me understand, they'll be happy to tell you. Really? It opens the door. You want to be a witness and a light and salt on the earth? You want to share the gospel and the gospel of grace? This is a big way in how to do that. You're not going to fix everybody. This is the Lord's to fix and sort out and sort through. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and they are born again, they're going to heaven, they're brothers and sisters. Work out your own. Focus on your own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, thank you for this time and this class. Thank you for opening our minds and our hearts to the reality of the truth of your word. Thank you for helping us to sort through these things and opening our eyes. It is your job and your responsibility, Lord, to sort these things out. It is ours to share the gospel as much as we are able, as much as we are permitted. I thank you for that. And for all our brothers and sisters in you, Jesus, whether they agree with what we know to be true or don't, help us to keep unity in the faith, spiritual unity in you. In Jesus' name, amen.